Tuesday the 16th of February, Beis Adar, the Boston of Eber, Harav Naftali Yehuda Halevi Horovitz Shlita, LaYehudim Hosa Oro Hasimcha.
It's a great pleasure to be here today, to greet you all. Being from Boston, Massachusetts, it's particularly wonderful to be here in England, because Boston is in a region in the United States that is called New England. So we have a close shaychus with each other. You know, Chazal tell us, "Mishenichnas Adam Mar in Besimcha." And my father, the Rebbe, Hayani Kaporas Mishkovoy, Zatzal, always used to mention from the Vorka, Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, "Mishenichnas." The Loshem Mishenichnas means, it doesn't say Mishabo Adam, it says Mishenichnas, that you have to have that. Simcha should go into your bones. So arankichin in the beina. Should enter the bones. Now we know simcha is something that is superficial. It's a psychological type of being, simcha. People are happy. Something good happens to them. And when things are not so good, they're not as happy and they're sad, in fact. How do you get the simcha of Ador into your bones? In Megillah it says, "La'ihudim hoisa'oyre v'simcha v'sasim v'ikar." That the Jews had light, oyre, simcha, joy, v'sasim, happiness, v'ikar, and yakris, regality. And Chazal tell us, a famous Gemara Masechet Megillah, that Oyre zu Toyre, ki ner mitzvah v'toyre or. And it goes through that Simcha is Yomtif, Sosoin is Mila, ritual circumcision, Tefillin, and Vikar is Tefillin. And it's interesting, it says, it doesn't say La'ihudam Haysa or v'simcha v'sosin Vikar, it says La'ihudam Haysa Oyra. From its light. Proof in the pasuk of Oyra is Or, Kiner Mitzvah V'Toyra Or. It doesn't say Oyra that it's Or. Say, La'ihudam Haysa Or V'Simcha V'Sasim V'Yikar. Now what do we view as Simcha? During the Second World War, my grandfather, the first Boston Rebbe, Zatzal, lived in Williamsburg in 1940, and they've heard already about what was going on in Churban Europa in the Holocaust, that Yiddish Shigit Blis Gisach, that Jewish blood is being spilled in the streets. And the minig was to go on Shvi Shal Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach, to the Williamsburg Bridge, which was by the river there, and they used to dance a rakida on Yom Tov. And while they were dancing, somebody gave a geshrei. Somebody screamed out, "Yiddish blit gitzach." Jewish blood is spilling. Im is tanzt, and you're dancing, and everybody stopped in the tracks. And my grandfather Zatzal explained that by the avoida of the Kohen Gadol, the description of Simcha is avoid the kosher shibamigdash. The most difficult service in the Beis HaMikdash, we know, anybody who's learned kachem, about halachis of karbonis, of the different sacrifices, knows that there are a lot of difficult, complicated situations. But it describes, what is Simcha? Avoyde koshi shebe migdash. The most difficult avoyde. And he said that sometimes you have to be besimcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Tov says simcha. And it's difficult. But still we have to be besimcha. Now how do you get to this simcha, even in difficult and trying times, to have that simcha? I'm from the United States. And the founding fathers in the United States created the laws of the land, and the major laws come from the U.S. Constitution, the United States Constitution. And in their wisdom, as they say it, they put down several hakdomas, several prefaces, that everyone is created equal, even that we have to understand, because not everybody, one person might not be as smart as the other one, why not have the same traits, but everybody's created equal. And also, everyone has the inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness. That everybody's allowed to make sure they're happy, meaning the goal of the United States at the end of the day is everyone should be happy. The pursuit of happiness. Now, as everyone knows, that someone who's running after something, a lot of times it's like the gold treasure at the end of the rainbow. As much as you pursue it, it will not come to you. Give you several examples of our times today, what it means in the United States, the pursuit of happiness. Seatbelts. There was a question in Massachusetts, where I come from, whether you should be obligated to put on seatbelts or not. And there was a big vote. And at one time, afterwards it was changed, the vote came in that people have the right not to put on seatbelts if they want to live dangerously and be in a mokum sakona, as everybody knows statistically. Their happiness is not to put on seatbelts, and if they get into a car crash, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, be able to let themselves be killed, technically. Or smoking. People smoke. Medical terms today, it's a difficult habit to break. But if you smoke, it takes a minute. Each cigarette technically takes a minute off your life. Now, you know, you have to be careful. But you want to go ahead and pursue your happiness and smoke and take a minute off your life. So if you smoke a pack a day, you're taking 20 minutes off your life. That's your right. That could be pursuit of happiness. But is that the end all of happiness? What do most people say is the happiest day of their life? You'll ask a chosen kala bridegroom, oh, the wedding day is the happiest day of my life. You'll ask the mechatanim, the parents of the chosen kala, the bride and the bridegroom, they'll say, today is the happiest day of my life. Now, if you really talk to them, they're nervous, like anything, to make sure that the guests are being taken care of. And they're under pressure. And the thinking, is everything going perfectly? Are the guests happy? And the chosen kala are thinking, is this really, truly going to work out? Is it a sure shot? Not by all terms. So technically they're fooling themselves when they say it's the happiest day of their life. It might be the most important day of their life. That there's no disagreeing on. But the happiest day, it's questionable. I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva, Reb Mendel Kaplan, in Yeshiva, Philadelphia, that once described, he lived in Chicago at one time, where chassin got cold feet and he didn't show up to the chassana. Didn't show up the day of the wedding. So of course it was very embarrassing for everyone there. Everybody felt uncomfortable. Here they're waiting for the chuppah and no show. So the father of the kallah says, no one has what to worry about. All I want is everyone should be happy. Again, maybe they stayed, some of the people, but I'm sure it wasn't what you would call the most joyous occasion. How do you really attain and understand true joy? Ma'ri b'simcha. We find in last week's Pasha, Ki sikna evidivri, the first laws of mishpat, bein odom l'chaveirot, laws between man and his fellow man. Now it's interesting, of all the different laws, if you look through the Pasha, this is probably one of the least ones that occur. It doesn't occur at all times. Kisikna evidivri. Acquire a Jewish slave. How often, I mean, today's times it's for sure not happening. Shemachinim, Shemesacha, things that have to do when you watch, be it for a fee or not a fee, makes more sense. Why does the Torah start Kisikna evidivri? Which is something that is a rare occasion. How often would you want to buy your fellow Jew as a servant? But Chazal tell us an interesting terminology called a koine evid koine l'odm la'atzmai. And that's what the Torah is coming to teach you. You're buying a servant, but kol koine evid koine l'odm la'atzmai. You shouldn't think that he's going to be subservient to you, but in fact, in certain ways, you're going to be subservient to him. You are going, if you have one cover, it's brought down, you have one cover to cover yourself. You have to make him comfortable. Now, today you don't have servants, but you have situations. See, someone has a nice dog as a pet. So, the question is, who's the master and who's the servant? I know I go out early in the morning to daven a lot of times. I have a lot of friendly neighbors. Not everyone is Jewish. I have non-Jews as well, and I greet them at 5 o'clock in the morning, the dead of winter in Boston, which could be quite cold. And they're going out, and sometimes they go out in their bathrobe because they still want to get back into bed. And they're going out and taking out their little dog, nice little pet, and taking him for a walk to make sure that he feels okay. She feels okay. Now, if somebody would come out from down from a different planet to Earth and see this happening, who would you say is the master and who would you say is the servant? Who is serving? That's kind of evident, kind of out in last point. You see it in our times as well. Even more so, if what happens when someone goes off on a career, I remember again Remendel Kaplan describing someone who he was studying with came over to yeshiva and he studied with him on a daily basis, who was studying to become a doctor. And anyone who's familiar training of a doctor, he has to go through medical school and through internship and residency, and then he becomes a big doctor. But it really takes a toll on you. So Mendel said, this person is not only an Eved Ivri, he's an Eved Knani, because from now on, he's going to be always tied to that phone, and he thinks he's becoming a big doctor, her doctor. And really, the profession is taking him over. It's making him complete. the overwhelmed, and he doesn't have time. He has to go in on shifts, and he has to be on call, midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. You took a profession, here you want to become a doctor, you want to have a choshev profession, of course it helps people, but still, in a way, you're tied down to it. You're tied down in any type of circumstance, being in the business world, and whatever you do, you're really tying yourself down. What does it mean not to be subservient and to have that simcha? Tainam Purim, where the Yidden were called the Sudas Achasveirish, Chazal tell us, Gilas Esther, and they partook in it, on account of partaking in it, even though they were told they would get everything according to Jewish law, partaking in Tzulis Achashverosh in the banquet. We have the top Hashgachis. There was a tzvi on them. Still asked. They weren't doing the right thing. Why not? And afterwards, there was the takana. It was rectified because they followed in the ways of Mordechai Tzadik. What exactly did Mordechai do to turn the tables? In Megillas Esther, when it describes the beginning of the rise of Haman, says, after these times, the king Achashverosh gave prominence to Haman. What happened? V'chol avdei ha-melech asher b'shah ha-melech, all the servants of the king that were in the gates of King Achashverosh, karim mishtachim l'Haman, they bowed down to Haman, kichein tzivu le-ha-melech, because that was the commandment of the king. U'mordechai le-yichav le-yishtachav, and Mordechai will not bow down and prostrate. Now, it says it over here in the future tense, lo yichrev lo yishtachav. Just say lo korah. He didn't bow down. Then what happens? It says, why are you not doing the commandment? And they tell him, will the words of Mordechai, because he told them that he's a Jew. Now, what was the problem here? He didn't bow down. It was an action. What are the words? And also, it says, because he told them that he was a Jew. And it continues. And it says that Vayahomi came Mordechai Kareb Shtachava, and it says it once again that Mordechai is a Mordechai Kareb Shtachava, and Hayam do divrei Mordechai. The words of Mordechai will stand. It's not the actions of Mordechai that he didn't bow down. And also, that he told him that he was a Jew. You don't think Haman knew that Mordechai was a Jew? He was Jewish. Everybody knew he was Jewish. It's like I'm coming into England, I'll tell you Rav Antro is a Jew, and Rav Padova is a Jew. Nobody knew that he was Jewish? Of course they knew he was Jewish. So what's the Chiddush? Haman happened to be a slave of Mordechai at one time. So what was he getting so upset that he's telling him that he was Jewish? So there's an interesting understanding on these questions that gives a completely different perspective to what was going on here by Reb Levi Yitzchak Badichin, Zatzal. He explains that that Haman was a big Russia, but he was no fool. He realized that he's going to tell Mordechai Tzadik to bow down. He's not going to bow. And he wasn't interested in Mordechai Tzadik bowing down to him. He realized it. He didn't know who Mordechai Tzadik was. But he didn't need Mordechai. He needed everybody else who was by the banquet of Ahasuerus and looking towards the pursuit of happiness. So he told them like this, that there was key, that Asher b'shah ha-melech kari mishtachlim l'homen. Everybody should bow down to Haman. Ki chen tzivle ha-melech. The melech that the king did. However, umadcha lo yichrev lo yishtachav. Mordechai should be exempt. We're giving a personal exemption to Mordechai HaTzadik that you don't have to bow down. Because I gave you an exemption. Of course, you're in the hierarchy of the government. You're exempt. You don't have to bow down. However, Mordechai HaTzadik realized that people will fall suit, that he doesn't have, but they should. So he didn't bow down, and he made sure that the reason why he didn't bow down was to tell people was that not because I get an exemption. I wanted to bow down anyway. It's because I'm a Yehudi. So again, they asked him, Madu atoives mitzvah hamelech? Why don't you bow down? Will the words of Mordechai stand? Meaning, will they stand? Will he influence Klal Yisrael not to bow down? Because he's telling them not because of the exemption. And on account of what was happening, and everybody realized it's because of the nation of Mordechai that he didn't bow down. So then he decided that he has to do something about it. So Mordechai stood up and was counted and said, I'm not bowing, not because I get an exemption. He could have said, oh, Baruch Hashem, personally everything is fine and okay, I'm very comfortable, I don't have to bow. Goes on with Tom, what can we do? He made sure to carry the point out that I'm a Torah Yid, I'm an observant Yid, and that's why I am not bowing down. This is what Simcha is. A purpose in life. When the Yidden were going to the banquets, they were pursuing happiness. They wanted to enjoy themselves. Enjoy tzach. They wanted to do it. They wanted to be part of what you would call the echelon. As Baruch Hu said, that's not what purpose in life is. Purpose in life is to have a roadmap to teach you how to be happy and understand what the proper thing is and what the proper goals are. In Boston by us, one of the major tourist attractions is what's called the Freedom Trail. They go around, they show you where the Boston Tea Party was, and they show you how we got the British to leave the United States, and we formed our own government. So they come afterwards, sometimes to the shul. So I tell them, that's the Freedom Trail. But the true Freedom Trail is here in Beis Medrash. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. And Nikr ben Chayin, Elam Yisho Yisik Batayra. Anybody who's involved in Torah. And you find it. Vayehudim hoysa oiru v'simcha. Simcha zu yomtif. The Yishalmi goes on further and says that not only is Simcha yomtif, but it's Shabbos as well. That's also Simcha. And we sing it every Shabbos. We sing Menucha v'simcha or la Yehudim. Say or la Yehudim. Menucha v'simcha. Now, someone asks, why are we singing on Shabbos Menucha v'Simcha Arlayim? Because everyone knows when they go to a Simcha, a true Simcha, Shabbos Shemit Brochus, an Ofruf, you have to have maybe Simcha, but too much Menucha you don't have by these type of Simchas. Only by a Shabbos where you enter and you accomplish on that Shabbos what you're supposed to, being kaveid in the Torah and being having the oinik Shabbos, can you really truly sing Menucha v'simcha or with the light of Torah la Yehudim? And that's why during Purim we're kimu v'kiblu la Yehudim, kimu v'asha kiblu kvar, that we took upon ourselves again the mitzvah of Torah. Because Klal Yisrael at that moment in time realized what Mordechai Tzadik was all about. That he was the ultimate simcha. Because he understood the goals of being a true value yid. And that's why they were able to be mekabel the Torah then. What they couldn't do even on Har Sinai. The Torah Shebiksav with the Torah Shebal Peh. Both the written law and the oral law. That's why we have the Oira, by Yehuda Maisa Oira, the Simcha, the Sosai, Sosai Mila, which is the first mitzvah that a young boy has in his lifetime. Bikar, which represents the tefillin which we put on a daily basis when we first get up to do avodas Hashem, to do the servitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a word from the Rebbe Melech Milizhensk on Parshas Yisro. Say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We say, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am your God. How can someone who's a human being, a boss of a dom, understand Tanochi Hashem Elokecha? So the Rebbe Melech Milizhensk says, Vayidabe Elokim es kol advorim ha'elu leimor. He gave us all the Torah, leimor, to teach us, to give us the roadmap of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You want to know what it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? According to your understanding, you can only do it by observing and studying Torah and mitzvahs. La'ihudim hoysa oira. Through the Torah, its Torah, oira. How can the Yehudim have Simcha? Only through Oira, through its Torah. And then it can have the Simcha of a Shabbos, a Yom Tov, and understand what it means. And that will not only give you the pursuit of happiness, running after the happiness, but secure that you have a mission on this world, on this good earth, to continue to do avodas Hashem. And that is what the ultimate simcha is. So we should be zeicha to have a freilich in Purim and understand what the kimu v'kiblu ma la'yehudim is all about, that we take upon ourselves with renewed vigor in being an eved Hashem, ani abdecha ben amasecha. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. And through that will be zeicha to have a freilich in Purim, and be zeicha to gula shleima. Amen. Thank you.